Hey everyone, welcome back to Stuff My Therapist Says, powered by your favorite online counseling company, Macon Wellness. I am your host, you've guessed it, Sarah Macon, and in today's episode, I am meeting with Kelsey George, who's an outpatient therapist at Macon Wellness, and we're talking all things identity. Did you know that your identity impacts how you think, feel, and even behave? If there are certain changes you want to make in your life and you haven't made them, there is a chance that it is because you do not identify as the change that you want to see or experience. So Kelsey dives in and shares so much more about this topic. I'm so excited to share this interview with you guys. And without any further ado, here is Miss Kelsey George. So welcome back to our podcast, Kelsey. I'm so happy to be sitting here talking with you.
Sarah, it is such a pleasure. I'm excited to be here.
As excited, if not more excited, to have you on. And today, Kelsey and I are going to be talking about everything related to identity. Do you ever think about who your ideal self could be? Do you ever think about what your identity is? Is your identity consistent with who you ultimately want to be? And we're going to address all those things and so much more on today's episode. So starting out, Kelsey, what even is identity?
So identity is who or what a person or thing is. So your identity defines who you are, and it can also be how others define you. It consists of your roles and your interests and even some of your desires. Identity also encompasses the memories, experiences, relationships, and values that create one's own sense of self. This amalgamation creates a steady sense of who one is over time, even as new facets are developed and incorporated into one's identity.
So overall, an identity is who someone ultimately is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So like, let's say someone sees themselves in a certain way or has a developed sense of identity. Is that always the same as how others would see us?
That's such a great question, Sarah, because I think that theme comes up a lot in my clinical work. Mm-hmm. Sometimes these definitions are not always the same, which can cause confusion for oneself. So with my clients, I often see that how they view themselves is and can be different than how a family member or a friend may see them. And that longing for those important people to see us how we see ourselves can feel heavy. It can feel confusing. It's the difference between our role self and our true self. So oftentimes our familial system traps us in what is called our role self, the self that we put on, that hat that we put on in order to kind of survive in our familial system. Mm-hmm. And when we are put back into that system on a subconscious level, we can kind of revert back to that role self. And our true self is just simply quite the opposite, right? It's mm-hmm. who we are kind of based on our terms and not being concerned really with how others are viewing us of how we should be or mm-hmm. who we're supposed to be.
So there can be some conflicts happening between your role self and your true self, like the role self of like the mask that you put on or the roles that you fall into versus your true self of who you ultimately want to be and who you truly are, like deep, deep, deep inside.
Absolutely. Yeah. I see that a lot too with just natural growth and kind of emerging adulthood area too, right? That mm-hmm. age of, you know, 18 to 22 when you're so used to your role self, mm-hmm. but you are adopting new versions of yourself and you're kind of becoming your true self. It can be really hard to navigate that process with all the shoulds of who society tells us that we should be.
Some of the most challenging things to deal with too, of like, I should be this or I should be that. And then people feel a lot of like guilt or shame underlying if their true self is not congruent with what society is saying, like, you should be, or what role you should be playing in the world.
Absolutely. If I had a dollar for every time I heard should in session, right? It would be a lot.
Yeah. Guys, don't should on yourself.
That's great.
Meaning don't think in a way, or not don't think in a way, but being mindful of how you think and the thoughts that you have. It's like, oh, I should be doing this, or I should be doing that. There's guilt and or shame underlying that thought and belief. So it's not good.
Oftentimes when I hear my clients say, I should be doing this, or I ought to be doing that, I always say, who is that voice? Who's really saying that? Is that you? Is that society? Is that mom, or is that dad? Because a lot of the times there's a different narration that's coming out to try form our identity, right? Mm-hmm. And it might not exactly be our voice.
Yeah. And that's so true. Many times people internalize their parents' voices, and they're so used to thinking in that way that it sounds like it's your voice and your thought, but it's really something that, like, your mom said over and over again, or mm-hmm. your dad said over and over again. And now you are thinking in that way because you've heard it so many times.
Absolutely.
So how does existentialism play a role in identity development?
I definitely think that there is a connection between existentialism and identity, because everyone struggles with that existential question, such as, who am I? What do I want my future self to look like? Who am I supposed to be in this world, right? Mm-hmm. And identity includes the many relationships that people cultivate also, such as their identity as a child, mm-hmm. a friend, a partner, a parent. It involves external characteristics over which a person has little or no control, such as height, race, socioeconomic class. Identity also encompasses political opinions, moral mm-hmm. attitudes, religious beliefs, all of which guide the choices that one of us makes on a daily basis. And to go off of this with these roles, right? Oftentimes I ask my clients, who are you if not a mother? Who are you if not a daughter? Who are you if not a friend, or the job title that you have, or the partner that you see? When you strip away all of those roles, then who is your identity?
It's like,
did I blow your socks off?
Okay, you guys, Kelsey just blew my mind, and I have nothing to say because my mind is blown. Like, just genuinely think about it. Like, who are you if you don't have, if you start to peel away the layers of, like, your role, like your socioeconomic status, like your religion, your faith, your spirituality, all these things, like, who ultimately are you? And many times that can leave a client feeling like, oh my gosh, I have no idea who I even am, because many times people identify so deeply with these labels and these things, but it's ultimately not necessarily who they are on the inside. I remember too, whenever I first started learning about existentialism, I loved the idea of the Übermensch, of the idea of every person can be, you know, a superman, superwoman, super person, depending on how you identify, of course. And that is entirely up to you. Like, you can create that ideal and that identity and eventually become that. And it's completely possible. And everyone is empowered to be able to do that, again, if they want to.
Right. People have the power to determine what their identity is. And sometimes feeling unacceptable can influence identity also. People who are overly concerned with the impression they make, or who feel a core aspect of themselves, such as gender or sexuality, that is not being expressed, that can also struggle acutely with their identity, right? Reflecting mm-hmm. on the discrepancy between who one is and who one wants to be can also be a big catalyst for change in identity. I think identity is such a big concept too, because human nature always involves ego. Mm-hmm. And people like to talk about themselves and they like to feel a sense of importance. That's just the reality of the human experience. And that's why identity is so important to us.
Because it's connected back to ego and importance ultimately. And mm-hmm. like, what do you find to be important and how can you live your life to be congruent with that? Regarding identity, is this a fixed characteristic or fixed personality trait, or is it possible for people to change their identities if they want to?
Identity can absolutely change. So much of the therapeutic process is getting my clients to understand the concept of impermanence, mm-hmm. right? Which is that everything is constantly in flux. Nothing is in a permanent state. We are ever evolving species. And I often tell my clients that if I didn't believe that people could change, then I surely picked the wrong career.
Yeah, you and me both.
Absolutely. Humans often talk as if their mental states are fixed, and they simply are not. Our identities ebb and flow over the course of the lifespan, and that is a very, very normal process.
Yeah. So identities change. It is 1,000,000% possible to change your identity. And just because you've identified in a certain way or have had lived in your role self rather than your true self, it doesn't mean that you're stuck forever. It's completely possible to make changes. I actually have a client that we've been working recently on identity, and that can be an avenue of really starting to make some significant life changes. Because if you start to really address your identity and who it is that you really want to be, and you change who that is in your mind first, then you start to feel different, which then impacts your behaviors and how you actually show up. And so if you, for instance, are someone who's listening in and, like, let's say you want to improve your health overall, but you identify as someone who's lazy, or you identify as someone who just hates exercising, if you start to challenge those identities that you've set up for yourself and start to change them and start to think in a way where it's like, you know, like, I'm starting to enjoy exercising and I'm starting to enjoy living a more active lifestyle, then you start to identify more like a person that loves to exercise, then those behaviors are going to change. Many times that can be a way to address and change behaviors that have been historically, like, not happening.
It's kind of like my relationship with pickles.
Yeah.
I always told myself that I hated pickles, and my fiance loves pickles. So every time he would eat a pickle, I would, like, hear the crunch and I would get jealous and I would be like, I wish I liked pickles, but I don't. So every time I take a little bite of his pickle and I'd be like, eh. Mm-hmm. And then one day I ate the pickle and I liked it.
Yeah.
And it changed.
Yeah.
And now I love pickles.
Yeah.
So that is a perfect example of how my identity as a pickle hater,
yeah,
changed into a pickle lover.
That is a great example. Speaking of pickles too, like, my husband loves fried pickles so much. And I didn't necessarily identify as someone who hated pickles, but I have historically identified as someone who doesn't enjoy fried food. Mm. And I did try fried pickles for the first time at Picklesburg, and it was such a delight.
Mm-hmm.
10 out of 10, would highly recommend.
Another beautiful example of staying open-minded to a change, yeah, right? And even something as small as pickles is the starting point for bigger things, right?
Exactly.
A part of what your identity that you are willing to get curious about and see if that part of you is still true.
Yeah, definitely. Are there any stories that come to mind about identity and identity changes?
Sure. I think I feel like I always go back to this part of my life because it was so profound and really transformational. But I think the biggest reason I became a therapist is rooted in the concept of identity. Mm-hmm. I sought therapy because I was lost and didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And as I sat back in the in-person days on the couch of my therapist's office, I had no idea who I was. And these questions of, you know, these existential questions that we're talking about of who am I and what do I want out of life and how do I see myself? It was an inspiring, also scary journey to answer those questions. I didn't know who I was or what I was or what I was put on this earth to do. And exploration of my identity was a crucial part of my therapeutic experience.
So you really experienced it both from the client end and now from the clinical end, being a provider, of the importance of addressing your identity and really discovering who it is that you want to be and then starting to act in congruence with that.
Absolutely. Some of my best conversations with my clients are about identity.
Yeah.
Right? Because again, this sense of I-ness, this sense of importance, this ego, right, that comes out. And I don't say that in a negative way, right? But talking about these questions of who we are, you know, what we want our life to look like, what makes up this I, is it gets people excited to think about those things. Because when's the last time someone asked you a question like that, right? And therapy is such a sacred space to be able to explore those deep questions.
It really is. And counseling can be such a game changer if you're working on addressing any identity-related challenges. One of the things that I've recommended too with clients that are working on their identity is taking time to consider who their Ubermensch or ideal self really is. And if they're a visual person, to print out pictures or like cut out pictures of things that represent that and have that in front of yourself on a frequently occurring basis to remind yourself of like, okay, this is who I ultimately want to be. Like, what do I need to do today to get closer to that? That, or like journaling it, or some people will put together like a video, like a slideshow presentation with music that has that, that helps to remind them of like, okay, this is where I'm getting to today.
I think another point too is asking yourself of like, what's important to you, right? What things matter to you? What are your values? If anyone is thinking about, oh my gosh, this concept of identity is a bit abstract, where do I even start? Start with what you care about. Start with what kind of pisses you off and what kind of causes some of those bigger, grander emotions, because they're trying to tell you something.
Yeah, definitely. That's a great place to start for sure. And if you are in a place where you're ready for support, our team at Make It Wellness is more than happy to support you and assist you with your identity journey. So in closing, Kelsey, do you have any words of wisdom for our audience about identity?
I think that some topics in counseling can be really hard and really uncomfortable. We're exploring relationships with our parents. We're processing trauma. But I do think identity can be one of those really, like I said before, inspiring ones, or a topic that can create some motivation and a sense of transcendence in a way, right? It's one of those topics, like I said before, that I really like talking about with my clients, because clients like to talk about it, right? I like to talk about it. People are interested in what makes up the foundation of who they are.
Yeah, you're 1,000,000% right. People find it to be interesting. And this is something that many times if someone is in counseling or on the verge of getting into counseling, these could be things that you're already thinking about now. Like, who am I and who do I really want to be? And again, like, life is so short and it's important for us to work on our identity and really get ourselves to a place where we are congruent with that Ubermensch of what we have in mind of who our ideal self is. And the other thing I wanted to mention too, because I know sometimes when people hear about existentialism, like, this is, you know, a philosophical and counseling theory. It doesn't have anything. When we talk about existentialism, we're not talking about like anything religious or anything like that. It doesn't interfere with anyone's religious beliefs. It's really just like, who do you want to be? And are you that person? And if you're not, what's in the way of that? And how can we get you to be congruent with who you really want to be.
Sure, yeah. Sure. I think a final note to our listeners is that identity development and exploration is absolutely a good enough reason to come to counseling.
Yeah.
I often hear, you know, well, I don't really need therapy because, again, that stigma attached that there's not something inherently deeply wrong or there's not this profound mental illness that is influencing our lives. Just general self-exploration and identity development is 100% an awesome and okay reason to come and see a therapist.
It definitely is, and it will absolutely help you, and our team is here to support you, and whenever you are ready for counseling, please give our team a call at 833-274-HEAL. Our care team is going to match you with a caring and specialized therapist that is devoted to helping you to heal and become happy again, and who also accepts your insurance, which is always a plus. So make sure you reach out to us. You can also schedule online at makeandwellness.com. Make sure to follow us across all social media platforms. Just search for Make and Wellness. If you have found this podcast to be helpful, please let us know. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts so we can learn more about your feedback and so we can continue to create content that you enjoy. And if you know anyone who is struggling with their identity, please share this podcast with your friends and family and across your social media profiles, because this is like sharing free therapy without even having to pay your copay, which is very exciting. And as always, please be well, and we look forward to connecting with you in our next episode.